Welcome to Training In, guys, episode number 16.
We made it this far, huh?
What are we talking about today? The golden age?
Yeah, today we're going to be talking about the golden age of bodybuilding and what that means.
Wow, a long time ago.
It is. It was back in, it started so much earlier with Eugene Sandow and him being, quote unquote, the father of bodybuilding.
Who was Eugene Sandow?
Well, you might see him in old silent clips, but he was on stage and he was part of this regimen and routine as far as they had like these traveling circuses.
Got it.
Or they had shows of that kind. Not saying that he was part of a traveling circus, but you'll see clips of him on there lifting up a barbell, and it's most famously shown on Pumping Iron in the beginning when they're showing the little tiny clips of the credits and you're introducing the film, but you see this little clip of this man lifting weights and doing freeform posing, and everyone calls out the father of bodybuilding because he basically started bodybuilding. Yeah, the essence of what it is.
This might be a dumb question.
Yeah.
When you said he was the Sandow,
yeah.
Is that him in that funny position when you see that bronze Sandow on the wall all the time? Is that him?
Yes.
Man, it looks painful, that stretch, the way he's doing that.
It does. I mean, it's funny just thinking about that now because how the evolution of that has evolved. Yep. I mean, it just goes of product with the times and how things have kind of progressed through then. And the golden age basically took over after that, and it was aesthetics.
Got it.
Golden age is aesthetics. I mean, Steve Reeves did it, you know, the first Superman.
Like Frank Zane?
Yeah. Handsome guy, started off lifting, and everyone sort of really liked the way his body looked, and that kind of set the precedence for how a male figure should look.
Pretty much.
And
he was that guy with the vacuum, right?
He had an amazing vacuum.
This guy looked like he had a New York City pothole when he would suck his abs in.
Yeah.
I never knew the abs go that deep in.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
As like far a toilet seat. All the way into him, bro. You don't remember that?
No, I do. It's so hard to do, though.
He used to do that.
People don't realize how hard that pose is to do.
He would blow his abs out, let someone suck his abs in. And I was like, what the hell? It was amazing. Look freakish, though.
It is a freakish pose. And it's actually in a lot of the posing routines now that you may see. And some people do it to the extent of, I mean, I've done it before, but I've seen people do it that I'm just amazed by. I don't know how they can tuck their stomach in that much.
Discipline.
Well, you know, the vacuums really help actually lower the waist and shorten the waist.
You know how they train them to do that, right?
Tell me.
In the morning, when you get up, they do a half plank on their elbows. And when they go into a half plank, right, they round their shoulders and they suck all the air in.
Yes.
Let it all out. And you keep doing it until you could almost have that cavity or that pothole in your stomach. You're training your deep core muscles. They call your core intrinsic stabilizers. Those control the whole core. That's like the puppet that controls the person.
Well, that's why you have all the terminology down, because when I was doing them, I just called them vacuums, and I would do the same exact thing. It's like the thing when I was doing active recovery, but not knowing the actual term of active recovery.
Well, I'll put it this way. The vacuum is the end result of those intrinsic core stabilizer muscles.
They're great.
Being strong. Now we know.
Yeah, I would practice those on the ground, just as you said, and it would be an interesting feeling, but I would notice that my waist got smaller.
It does, yeah.
And I noticed that when I would pose, it would be a lot better aesthetically. It would be more aesthetically pleasing, like how the golden age was.
Why do you think it gets smaller?
I don't know. Can you tell me that?
Sure.
<'Cause> when you're interested.
When you're working the core muscles on the ground, if you really bring in all the air in the last second, every piece of air, it's tough, but you start seeing the side obliques shrinking coming in too. So what do you think you're doing? You're creating heat. What is that? Isometric, isotonic? Isometric or isotonic pressure? I always get the two of them mixed up. Never said I was a scientist. I'm just smart. But like one of those two, you apply that much pressure and it's heat. What are you doing in the gym when you do movement? It's body heat. So you're working your abs in a functional way.
Yeah, that's right.
And you expend more calories that way too, bro.
It's like I said, it's a proper exercise. It's difficult to do. Correct. It takes a lot out of you. A lot of oxygen goes into it. And you really got to take your time with them. You can't rush that kind of an exercise.
Yeah, it's kind of like those muscles that these dancers have real strong. What does a dancer have? Not just rhythm, they got stability. they got strong cores. So that's like easy work for them.
Yeah. I mean, just going back to that era, so much has changed since then, hasn't it?
Yeah, I would say the whole dynamic's changed. What people look at as a quality physique today. Although I like it better, I got to say that.
Yeah, I was about to ask you that question because you know where I stand. I'm a big fan of the golden age because of the aesthetic and how aesthetically pleasing that is. And with that, just basically breaking it down is that you have a small waist, right? You have a bigger upper body and everything is very symmetrical and proportionate to where you can do a vacuum. You can show your abs in a flattering way where they're not sort of bulging out in what they call
the stomach
like a G-scar or something like that, the descended gut, basically. You'll see a lot of that in a lot of the bodybuilders nowadays where it is a distended gut, but you will never see that person that already has the distended gut have a retracted, flat, cubed Frank Zane, Eugene Sandow, Steve Reeves type of a lower physique with that waist.
Yeah.
The tiny waist is still there, though.
Yeah, it's the only thing that makes sense that they brought back.
Yeah. Why do you think they would bring something like that back? Because it went from the 50s, 60s. Okay, you had Schwarzenegger, you had Frank Zane, you had so many bodybuilders. I mean, Franco Colombo, going up and down the line, Robbie Robinson, there's so many of these guys, right, that had this flattering physique. Mm-hmm. And then it switched off. The 70s were still part of that golden age. And then 80s, after 80, it started to shift. After Arnold came back from his comeback and won the 1980, you had Franco winning 1981.
Yeah.
And then after that, I believe it was Lee Haney that took over. And aesthetics were still there. And then after in the 90s, it really went away.
After Lee Haney had died. That was Dorian Yates. And he was like a big mass monster.
What did you think when you saw Dorian Yates come out? Compared to how things were. Were you like, wow, what is this? How is this possible?
It was a circus, man. I mean, he looked like something that was baptized in SeaWorld. He was so big, this guy. This guy was huge. And I didn't see the aesthetics anymore in bodybuilding.
He did have an amazing physique.
I tried to
physique.
Be a judge myself and look at that. And I was like, what the hell is stepping forward? There's muscle on top of muscle, right? But his waist looked so big. It's very blocky looking physique.
Well, I'm trying to figure
out nasty veins protruding through his body. How is that like?
Yeah, how is that
Olympia caliber? How about that?
Right. How did it go from it being aesthetically pleasing, sexy, appealing, not gonna I hate to say this, but in a way that in that golden age you'd walk down the street and you wouldn't scare a woman away.
No,
where now
factor.
They'd probably run away from you because you look freakish. In a term where it shouldn't be presented as, hey, this guy looks freakish, just that there was so much muscle, it was intimidating.
Yeah, there's not too many of those people walking around though anymore.
Why is that?
There's big people. I think people change their whole views and their standpoints. I think a lot of people all shooken up about all these guys dying on PEDs.
Yeah.
So they're taking a step backwards in a better direction and trying to say, what can I learn from this? Right? Let's go back to when maybe people don't use as much PEDs, but it's used. Let's focus more. Let's accentuate more aesthetics. Let's remember your body. When you get that big and that huge with a big gut, the only way to create symmetry is to get bigger and wider to create that illusion, that V taper. But look what you got to do. So what happens when that gut stays there and all that mass goes way over here? You look pregnant. You look horrible, right? So what they did is they remembered, how do we make the V-taper? Okay, they still have a wide frame, wide lats, wide medial deltoids.
It's about getting the inverted pyramid look.
Right, but let's keep the waist smaller. Let's build the legs. Let's not overcomplicate it. And that's basically what you have today with the classic physique.
Do you think that even with classic physique and how classic physique is going back to that 70s, 60s, 70s look, which looks appealing and flattering. But what did you think that, obviously PEDs were prevalent throughout the whole history of bodybuilding, but what would you think that they would be using at that time in the 60s, 70s versus now, where they've gotten away from, it went from using a certain drug in that time frame, looking like an aesthetic physique, and then it just gradually blew up into this different a different physique altogether.
It's like a science project.
Gone yeah, it is. That's yeah. gone. That's gone. Pretty much angling towards. Like it was like a science project.
Well, it was just that. Back in the day, these weren't a problem. PEDs, they weren't illegal back in the day, but people were getting bad side effects. They were getting screwed up liver from the oral Dianabols back in the day.
That was a big one.
Yeah,
D-ball.
Primobolan was something that was not considered not too harsh. Guys were on loads of that. That's a physique aestheticer. What's the word for that? When they make the, it was beauty related. It was like a beauty drug where your waist stood small, your jawline got tapered.
I understand.
It didn't blow up and look like something like a cartoon character.
Yeah, because going through these is so educational for people out there because
yeah,
you have to be aware of the things that are available and the things that are tempting to use in order to get certain aspects and qualities of yourself. When we talked about how to do that naturally, and we're going to go more into that, of course, but going along with the steroid usage of that era and it pushing from that age to now, mm-hmm. So what else was there? Because that makes sense to me, because it looks right. You have the Dianabol, you have the, I forgot the other drug.
Primobolan.
Yeah, Primobolan, having that small waist. Because mm-hmm. everything else was not too, you wouldn't look at a guy and say, oh my God, he's definitely on something. I mean, you might say that for Arnold, but he had a different physique. He's a tall guy, can stack a lot of muscle on him.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How many phones were around back in the day?
Zero.
How many phones around today?
All over the place.
And that's what just happened, exactly that. It went from steroids to exotic drugs. How can we make it better, more exotic? It's just like technology, man. It's always improving. Right?
That's such a that you kind of just blew my mind for a second.
I just blew my own mind.
Yeah, you that's good because this is something we can actually talk about. It was it's thinking of it like this, like a generated science experiment, but it's like a evolution of
science.
Yeah, evolution of what the next best thing is going to be. What the next biggest thing is going to be.
Well, look at Tyson Fury, 6'9" fighter. It makes you wonder what's going to be after him. Colossal, right? You have a guy so big, he's got to duck his head just to walk into the arena. That's another proven example how science has evolved, right?
Yeah, so you go from after Lee Haney, right? Yeah. And then you go into Yates.
Dorian Yates, right? Jay Cutler,
Coleman, Dexter Jackson, many others.
Ronnie Coleman. Yeah.
Throughout those years, the ones that were just dominating.
Correct.
Right? Kevin Lavrone, right, was part of that too.
Good guy.
All these guys were great. I mean, as far as their work ethic, you can't take anything away from those guys. We're just talking about the science of how it's evolved now from going from Lee Haney in the 80s, aesthetics, and now it has gone to that giantism in a way, right? But what did you think had to be, what new scientific drug was pushed more in the 90s that they were taking now that evolved that physique?
Insulin. Not even a drug. It's a hormone. They didn't use that back then. I don't think they did. That might be a little too far back for me.
Because a lot of the guys then were even proponents of saying that's bad to do nowadays.
Horrible.
Why would you? Okay, we had drugs back then. Okay, they were not considered illegal. Now they are, right? If we would have known that, it would have been a different story. Maybe some of them still would have done it because they wanted the edge.
Yeah.
But you can argue that it wasn't going to be super duper detrimental to the stuff that's out now. That's you already know what you're getting into. You already know that you're going into a world now on a path that you can't go back from. It's irreversible.
Well, there's reasons why they're dying today and they didn't die back then. So it could be something in these exotic drugs, maybe. Not to mention insulin.
What does insulin do?
Insulin's an anabolic hormone. It sits in your body as we speak. The thing is, with insulin, so your pancreas secretes insulin. We know this, right? When you secrete insulin, the only way you're secreting it really, mostly, primarily, is through carbohydrates, right? So if I have some pasta, white rice,
insulin spike, bread,
it converts to glucose in my bloodstream. So my pancreas goes, I need some insulin. Well, my insulin goes to the pancreas, gives it insulin, right? And the reason it gets so big is because after the workout, they're having all these amino acids, all these vitamins, minerals, and they're having macronutrients. protein, carbs, and they inject insulin in their body, wherever they put it. And what happens is the insulin takes all those nutrients, and this is how I explain it. It's the highway to the muscle, not the service road. So the service road would be going a little slower, not taking what they call, I think it's endogenous insulin. That means injecting insulin from an outside source as opposed to what sits inside you normally.
So it's synthesized. It's correct. It's not a natural.
Yes, it's like protein synthesis is accentuated through amino acids. This is the same thing with insulin.
And you've come across a lot of this, I'm sure, is why you're so educated on it. And plus, at the same time, is that you've done your research and you've seen the evolution of this happening. You know, a lot of friends, a lot of people that you have seen in the gym.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys, you know, would openly either say it or openly understand that it's like a mutual agreement, right? You understand what they're on and what they're doing, and they're excited about it.
I don't want to know what they're on. It gets worse every time I hear it.
It's really sad on, I think, how things have changed.
May I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like talking about it with people in the gym. Because the minute somehow that conversation leaks into our dialogue, it makes me look at them a little bit differently. Not because, listen, I take testosterone. It's a facilitator. Well, I'm not going to talk about it. Yeah, I take testosterone. I'm not, I know I do that. I know it's a facilitator. I don't depend on it. When they're coming over to me asking me about all these drugs and stuff, it shows me where all their confidence is in drugs. And it doesn't show much etiquette for their work.
That's a very powerful statement.
I said before, I got as much as 188 natural. I'm 198. And I flow between 196 and 198. So what did I really put on? You do the math. 188 I started. 198 tops, 10 pounds.
Well,
that's all I put on.
That's what I'm saying. Going back to what you even said is that the conversation starts initially of where are the drugs at?
Yeah.
It's not, wow, how did you attain what you have?
Right.
Wow, what kind of exercise did you have? Like how it was in that golden age. It was now, yeah. Hey, what are you doing to get to that size? There must be, it can't be something in the gym. It's got to be something else.
Right.
And that's where I feel that the golden age nowadays can really help people's mentality and help them understand that the aesthetics were one thing, but people got to a place in that era. Not all people took stuff, right? But people got to a place in that era where it was built with exercises. It was built with what you're eating.
Yeah.
And now I feel it's built with, especially the extremism of, hey, what kind of drugs are you on? And that's where the conversation starts. And that's why people can't have these types of conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's really sad. Disappointing.
It's sad,
actually.
But true.
Because listen, I love this sport so much. It's done so much for me in my life.
Why, they talk about it with you too?
No, it doesn't happen with me because I don't really engage as much. But when I was first training and I was coming up in bodybuilding and testing out the waters of how I would do on stage, I was questioned, of course, because even if you go back and look at pictures of me from 2007-08, there's a dramatic shift
change,
to 2009.
Yeah.
It's because I learned a lot of the science.
Right. Science in terms of what? The movement, physiology?
A lot of the physiology, a lot of the different workouts. I went to the drawing board, took pictures of myself and said, okay, I need to add this workout in to make this bigger. Let me just focus on this for a month, the weak point training.
Good for you.
Let me focus on that for another month. Let me focus on this. And then when everything came together and it was symmetrical, it's like, okay, now let's maintain this for another 2-3 months. And now let me diet properly. I was taking biology in school.
Good work.
Yeah, I was taking biology in school and I learned a lot from that. And it was almost a science experiment on myself where I said, okay, I learned about protein synthesis and metabolism and physiology and kinesiology. And okay, let me just see if this works on me.
You made your own experiment.
Made my own experiment through natural means.
That's awesome, man.
But I kept seeing gains. That's the thing.
That just
means. What if I didn't see gains? I don't know where my mind would have turned to.
What's fascinating about it to me is that you learned. A lot of people go to school to learn to pass and forget. You learned, and I know you learned because you wanted to apply it in your life. So you must have the proper protocols down, how to instill it in your daily routine to see if there's credibility behind what you learned.
That's absolutely what I was doing.
Smart, brother.
I love
learning. Good for you, man. Good for you.
I appreciate all that from you as well. And
Well, I'm listening. I'm just listening to you.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I really do. Because a lot of people I feel don't listen at the same time. But as I was learning, I was on the road to wanting to become pharmacy, and I changed my major so many times. And
pharmacy tech or pharmacy?
No, I wanted to be a pharmacist because I got into how the compounds are with advanced biology and how chemical compounds of the body worked, and I wanted to create drugs and be a pharmacist. But eventually, I shifted to. Bodybuilding started to come into my life and take over. And I went, I want to go into sports medicine. And I changed my major again. I realized that it was more of a hobby for me. And then, of course, acting sort of took over because it just came out of nowhere and I really loved it.
So you wanted to be a pharmacist. So you probably have some kind of experience knowing how these pills are pressed together.
I don't know the super extent. All my friends do, though. Talk. We're going to have them as guests. In the next season, for sure.
I can make them my guest too about it. I look so much into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of information.
It's disgusting, man.
It's a lot of information.
I don't want to put no one under the table, but let's just say some people are consuming multivitamins. Use your brain.
Well,
they're using multivitamins that they're using. So when they make a pill, they use a coating. See that coating? And see that binder, right? Press it together. When they press it together, it forms whatever they claim on the back of a nutritional claim. There's a multivitamin that they use talcum powder as the binder, and they use wax, right? Last time I checked, talcum powder is for your feet, right? Why are you absorbing it? And it's probably a microscopic amount of what's really, really in there in the back. Just enough to pass the RDA, I think?
The FDA.
Just enough FDA, just enough to pass that inspection. Now they could claim there's this much international units of vitamin E when you're only getting about 20 IUs and lots of wax and talcum powder.
Well, I know what you're referring to, and I've taken Centrum so much before. Ooh. But here's where I shifted to.
Threw them under the bus.
Here's where I shifted to. Oh. Is that I don't believe in it anymore. That's why. But I shifted to the organic stuff.
Yeah.
And I had, you can actually look inside the capsule that if you were, let's say you were to put this capsule on your tongue, it would naturally melt off because it's just a casing.
Is it sublingual?
I don't know what it's called, but it's like a see-through where you can see it.
Is it a droplet?
No.
On your tongue?
No, not a droplet. I haven't tried those yet though.
Amazing. They go right to the mucous membrane.
It goes straight to the bloodstream.
Bypasses all sorts of digestion right to you.
But I have these organic capsules, but if you shake it, you can see the actual herbs that you're putting in your body and the nutrients that you're putting in your body. And before that, Here's a scientific thing that I don't myself too, because I was taking Animal Pack quite a lot.
The multi?
Yeah. And I was looking at what I would do is I would look at all the ingredients inside there and say, okay, what is this doing? What is this doing? What is this doing? What is this doing? Let me see how it works for me. It made me harder, a little bit harder. It gave me a lot of energy, just a lot of pills. I wouldn't recommend it unless you're a serious athlete. They worked for me, but it's something you could buy over the counter. It's a supplement.
Those things look like horse pills, man.
They're huge. They're huge. You get so used to them that I could pop the whole pack and it's 11 pills.
Your muscles got hard from them?
Yeah, they did.
How?
I don't know the complete science behind it, but I noticed.
You just felt harder pumps?
I noticed a shift in, even when I was taking pictures of myself, and I knew the training, what that was doing for myself. You know, that in combination with posing always makes you more hard.
Yeah.
Gets more of that water out. But I could be wrong. If I am wrong, let me know in the comments. I felt a difference with it. I felt a little bit more energy.
I'm telling you, he's right. It's right. You probably added that into your thing, and you says, wow, I'm getting hard on my body. So what could I have introduced that I look this different? And that was the only thing you put in there.
Right. I kind of process of elimination. Basically.
So they were probably just processing more food. You need vitamins with food in order for them to work together.
Right.
So you're probably eating, and you had a good source of bioavailability. What, your vitamins and minerals from the Animal Pack?
Yep.
Animal Pack, right?
Yeah, Universal Animal Pack.
Your body just stored all that nutrients in your muscle.
Yeah, I really like them, but nowadays I stick to a multivitamin, and even if I were to delve into competing next year, I would just stick with a multivitamin that I believe in, that I just look at the ingredients and see. I like a lot of the organic stuff because I know where it's, quote-unquote, where it's coming from, right? We never really fully know unless we're compounding them ourselves, and I'm not a pharmacist, so I can't really do that. But going back to it, it's I just feel it just sends the wrong message when you're looking at how the evolution has now evolved. And I wonder why all of a sudden now, I wonder why now the golden age is coming back with classic physique. It's been here for about 5-6 years now. I wonder why it's automatically now shifting. You see a lot of the prime time events going towards classic physique rather than something of the mass monsters.
I think I know why. I think it's got a lot to do with, it's almost like an attribute to all the deaths in the sport. So
do you think that they're claiming a little bit more responsibility now, these federations?
Paranoid, or being more liable. So if we keep making people think they got to be a mass monster, you might have that one person out there who pushes the envelope and puts the car in four-wheel drive, goes uphill, and he uses a lot of stuff. So now basically what you're doing is you're inviting that. So if you tell them this is what's going to be, you're going to be judged on, more aesthetically pleasing to the human eye, people right away, what do they think? I don't got to take as many PEDs. My legs don't got to be as big. I just got to look proportion. I got to have some swole to me, right? Some kind of pop. Got to be lean here. There's not as much restrictions on the person. So it could be in that way. And it could be compounded with the fact that they're just redefining what the sport really was meant to be. They're calling for a redefining of the sport. So when you look at something that happens, like tragedies, like deaths, you say, how could I get around? How can I encompass this, man? This is bad.
It's bad for the sport. It's giving us a bad name.
The sport thinks
that happened for about 25 years.
The sport thinks they're doing nothing, but by okaying this, by this being the protocol to follow, being big and aesthetic, you don't know how that next person is pushing his gear. You don't know what they're doing. So they're taking more. So it's kind of like eliminating that liability, and at the same time saying, you know what? This is not what the sport was always about, though, right? Let's call for a redefining of it. Let's start judging differently. Let's bring back the golden age.
Yeah, because even growing up in like the, I guess really the era was like the late 90s for me, right? And it was, I wasn't involved in bodybuilding then, of course, as a little kid. But at the same time, I'm looking at the trajectory of, okay, why did my head go towards the golden age of bodybuilding? I wonder why, because I was growing up and then the 2000s hit, and that was really the era of Ronnie Coleman and Jay Cutler and Dexter Jackson. And I met all those guys, and they're really nice. They're nice people. I don't take anything away from them. I respect those guys because of what they have, you know, able to gain and accolades with their bodies and what they, a lot of the hard work that they've done. Mm-hmm. But thinking back to myself, I'm questioning myself on why I wasn't appealed towards that. And if I'm trying to answer that question now, I guess I would say is, I don't know, I was always into movies, and maybe I saw the action stars that were available at that time for me were Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'd look back to see, oh, what did they do? They look fantastic. Jean-Claude Van Damme, he looks amazing. And they weren't mass monsters. Because it'd probably be a little bit too scary for Hollywood at that time, to be quite honest with you.
They wouldn't be able to move.
They wouldn't be able to move. Yeah. And these guys are agile.
You're reading their script like this.
Right? And so I'd look back, and that's probably the answer. That's probably the answer, is that I had those guys available, and I looked back to what they had done, and I was amazed at how their physiques look. And it just looked appealing. It looked really, looked great.
Inspiring.
Yeah, it was inspiring. And then I said, okay, what's the sport about now? And I went, wow, the Mr. Olympia definitely has changed. There's a lot of these mass monsters out.
You're also an actor, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to take up the sport of weightlifting, we'll call it that, not bodybuilding, right? Because you're weightlifting, your muscles get bigger, you start thinking, what's the next step? There's bodybuilding, right? But I'm an actor. So you applied logical reasoning. I can only be so big because being an actor, it's all about being aesthetic, right? So you kind of just resorted to that classic physique look, that V taper, small waist, big enough legs where people could see you got legs, right?
Yeah.
He's not an actor.
Yeah. And plus, even taking,
unless you're playing a villain, you're coming in there like 260 ripped.
Right. Well,
good luck getting back down.
Even if you look at someone like Dwayne Johnson as The Rock, his physique is amazing. And he puts in a lot of hard work, and he looks great, but he has the aesthetics still.
He's a hard worker.
Yeah, he's a super hard worker. But that's a component. Guy has a lot of weight, right? A lot of stacked muscle weight, not actually heavy weight, right? And he just looks fantastic.
How about this? The Rock looks better now than he did when he was in his 30s. What is he?
50? Yeah, when he was wrestling, 49, right?
50?
I don't know. I don't know the age, but
can't tell with him. He looks great.
Yeah, he does. Because when he was wrestling, I remember watching him. I was a big fan of wrestling too, and I used to watch him in WWF at the time until it changed.
Yeah.
But his physique made a dramatic shift from then.
You ever see his father?
No.
His father looks ridiculous, man. His father looks like he was a bodybuilder, but he wasn't. He was a wrestler. But he was a guy. All right, I'll tell you who he looked like. What's his name? Lex Luger. Remember
him? I do.
He had that kind of muscular shit to him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when this guy lifted weights, kind of like you, when you lift weights and you get bigger, your muscles get separated and they get full. That's your genetics. That was his genetics. But The Rock didn't have his father's genetics. So he had to work harder. Don't know how hard his father worked, probably hard, but this guy might have had to work harder. He had very thick looking skin, that's why. And wrestling now, he looks more mature. That comes with age too, of course.
Yeah, and you see the separation, you see his stride. He could probably get on stage if he wanted to.
Rock is a hungry man.
Yeah,
he's a hungry man in every sense of the way. He wakes up with thoughts and dreams.
Well, he
knows he has to lift.
And plus, he trains as a bodybuilder would. You wake up early, you get your meals in, you do your due diligence.
Good
and that's,
him.
Yeah, that's a something to look up to nowadays, especially on how things have changed.
I don't know why a lot of people don't like him. I have no idea why. When I hear that, I get lost.
You know, I just feel like it's a lot of people hate from all corners of the earth. And that's why we're trying to spread love as much as possible, right? As have these conversations as much as possible, because at the end of the day, it's intimidation, it's that ego trip. It's, oh God, he's so successful. I hate that. And you gotta look outside the box, guys. We'll you gotta admire something that is attainable. You gotta admire something that someone's proposing in a better way for humanity. And his physique is for sure doing that.
You don't have to like somebody. If you don't like somebody, just respect what they do.
Yeah.
How do you not respect that?
There's
things
that
come. You ever hear when they say you command respect?
Yes.
You demand respect. People are like, what are you saying? I'm not ruthless to people. You would think that. There's a demeanor that demands it. He has that because of his accolades. What has he accomplished?
Right.
What does he come from? Not much, right?
Yep.
What did he say? $5 in his pocket? That's all he had? He reached in his pocket for something one day. I don't know if he bought coffee.
Yeah, I think it was like $7, something like that.
Whatever,
yeah.
$5, $7, same thing, right?
Yeah.
And look what he's accomplished, and he's still always hungry.
Well, that's why people, look, I don't like how the new age bodybuilders are with the mass monsters. That's just not my style, but hey, I respect them because of the hard work they're putting in.
Yeah,
I know they're going there every single day, putting in that work. You're not just going to look like that by taking stuff.
No, man.
I may not take it myself. I'm not going to hate on it. I'm going to be real with you right now. I'm not going to hate on it, but it's not something that dabbles my fancy. It's not something I want to do. But I'm going to respect the guy for doing what he has to. I'm going to respect the guy for going through with it and looking the way he wants to look because he wants to attain something.
You respect the journey.
I respect the journey, absolutely.
Same journey you're taking.
You have to. It's just a different shift. I shifted into a way where I didn't want to, and he shifted into a way where he wanted to.
Right.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
But bringing back this golden age now, it's so flattering because I look at it how it once was, and it makes you feel as if, hey, I've always wanted to live in that era of the 70s and stuff and see what that was like. Not surrounding-wise, not world events, but just going to Gold Gym, going to Muscle Beach, and I was able to go there when I was in LA, but it's just a different time now. So much has evolved. But I like that it's coming back. I like that we're getting a taste of sort of what it was like because it's happening out there.
Yeah. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Who would you have trained with back in the day
if you had
your choice? Golden Day. Golden Era. What
golden
is it?
Age.
Golden Era?
Yeah.
Golden Age?
Golden Era, Golden
Age.
Sorry,
Golden
yeah.
Age. Okay.
And we're talking about roughly at 65, 64 to 1964, all the way up, I'd say like
that's really
89, right? If even, maybe 80, maybe you stop like at 80, 81 when Franco retired.
So
I don't know.
So you would train with him?
I would probably want to train with Franco, Arnold, and Frank Zane only because...
Yeah.
The mindset of what Arnold had then and still does, because a lot of the stuff I follow with him now, he really is, he gives back so much to the sport.
does. Yeah.
And he's always been an advocate for that. And the knowledge that he has, I'd love to undertake in that and pry his brain, but my physique is a combination of how Franco's is and how Frank Zane's is. And that's why I would like to train with them, because they had similar height, they had similar body structure, and I could see the goal of attainability with that unit combined with myself. I think I would grow more.
You might get a psychological lesson from Arnold. Probably. You might get more than you've been.
I probably would about that point.
More than you could bargain for.
Yeah.
I'm going to find the words.
But that's all in the good fun, too. I mean, even Sergio Oliver had an amazing physique.
He did.
I mean, my goodness.
You see his son, how big he is?
Well, that's going in reference to that, too. It's like a clone version of
him. I think his son is bigger than his father.
It's amazing.
It's big. He's a real nice guy, though. He's a real nice guy. I met him once.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to hear that kind of stuff when you get to meet people. They're not, especially the bodybuilders, they're not going to be scary and run away from you. But it's translated even into Hollywood nowadays on how a physique should look for a male, and what's sexy and what's not, and what's going to scare you, and what's considered action hero. And all that's now changed.
So you don't like the mass monsters, huh?
They're not my cup of tea as far as how I would want to look. But like I said, I respect them. And I've had good conversations with them, and they're gentle giants. But it's not what I want to be at. Not what I want to emulate my body to look like.
More of the aesthetic route.
Yeah, it's just because I like the aesthetic. Yeah. I like the small waist. I like the side ab poses and the vacuums and all that
stuff.
Makes
the body look more malleable.
Yeah, and plus when you put clothes on and you have your normal everyday wear, you look like, oh, that guy looks like he's in really good shape. And then when he's on stage, you're like, what the hell was that? Where did those muscles come from? That's usually how it used to happen for me, where I would, just being in normal clothes, I'm like, oh, well, he's in shape. And then you go on stage and it's like, oh, what the hell? Like, because my muscles and genetic wise, when I flex, they're a lot bigger. But when I'm just walking around normal, it's like, oh, he's in shape.
Why don't you give a flex for the audience? Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go.
There you go.
This.
Look at that peak.
Now I want to see one from your side.
Mine's sleep, and check me tomorrow.
We'll definitely take you up on that one. We're gonna start the show next week.
Share some quick forearms, though.
See that? I will say this guy trains immensely hard, and we both train really hard together. I don't know if I'm gonna dabble in another show next year. I might. I may be leaning towards it, but you train like a bodybuilder through and through.
You think so?
You absolutely do. You have the mentality. I mean, you have the physique, of course, for it.
Mentality?
Mentality has always been there for you.
What makes you think I train like a bodybuilder?
Just the way your physique looks. Oh, the techniques you look.
Because it looks like
one. Yeah, you're not afraid to use a certain weight to establish mobility rather than going in there and going, and lifting these crazy heavy weights for one rep. I've done it. I've done the one rep for a long time. And I just learned that it's more of a ego. And now I take a page from your book where it's mastering the weight. And by mastering the weight, you mean lifting that same amount, not for one, but for six.
Mastering the weight, meaning if you get stuck at 225 on the flat bench, and let's say you hit 10 reps, it's just a number. The next set, if you mastered the weight, you would hit it for 10 three times, maybe twice. And John goes down to 8 in the second set. I would tell him there's no reason to go from 225 to 245 yet. Don't really bodybuild, but you could do the progressive overload, but master the weight first. So do three sets of 225 at 10, then go up 5 pounds each side, total of 10.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Who could you look up to when you were training in the early days? Was there somebody that you said, man, that physique looks great? Because mine was Frank Zane and Colombo.
Trying to think.
I think you mentioned Ferrigno, right?
Ferrigno was an inspiration because I wanted to turn green. And people to go the other
way. You go as that as Halloween. That would be perfect for you.
Yes, when you were young. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I don't really think. There's I think it, for me, it was watching like a multitude of people training hard on YouTube, just maybe a compilation.
Yeah.
Because it's more not the body, it's the act.
And then before YouTube was out, when you were younger?
Yeah, man. You want to know something, bro? When I go in a gym, if I see someone working hard, not working hard because you just walked in.
Right.
Like the minute you walk in, no one knows you walked in. When you walk in, you know it. You hear someone grinding. That's respect. That makes me work hard.
Yeah, and there's only a few gyms.
I'm not in it for all this. This just happened.
Right.
I picked up heavy weights all my life. That's all I did. And my appetite was not normal. I was always in the fridge. And what happens when you eat?
I could always picture that. Like you're in the fridge again. But that's how it is.
I used to have a little small portable fridge near my bed. Because I was lazy to get up and walk.
You just needed to have the meal.
Dude, you have no idea. But from all the eating and good sleeping at night, body just got bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was a great conversation to have because I've always wanted to delve into that age a bit more and just question, but have a conversation about the present day and how things have evolved from it. And of course, there's so much information out there, but we're just talking about the evolution of the body and how that has been different and how it's shifting and now it's coming back a bit and how exciting that could be.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Did you ever wonder why? I never looked in the mirror and says, why are you so big? You say you pick up heavy weights and you eat a lot of food, but don't you see you're getting way too big? At one point, you ever think about that?
Tell me.
Because it sounds like a contradiction, right? I wasn't a bodybuilder, but you just got big. Well, there's a mirror, don't you see it? I always felt like the hard work I put in the gym and how hard I trained, I beat my ass up each and every time. I beat my ass up. That's all I know. So I feel like the look on your body should be synonymous with the actions that you perform in the gym. So I want people to know, even when I'm not training, that's how hard I train when you see him come in the room. That could only be from one thing. Either abusing you hate yourself, or you're training that hard and you're eating so much and your muscles were meant to be that much. Maybe that's just your genetics. You get big.
Yeah, you do have dense muscle. You have muscle density. That's your genetics.
Yeah, but I'm more intrigued with the mobility aspect. I like to move laterally.
Yeah, and you're a flexible guy as well. I mean,
I'm working on it.
Yeah. So it's okay. It's safe enough to say that when people see you in the gym, it's okay to say hi.
It's always okay to say hi to me. I don't say hi, but I say hi back.
Same on my end.
That's just my mentality. I'm there for a purpose, for a cause, but I'll never forsake a hello. I'll always invite it.
Absolutely. Well, my brother, thank you again for coming on this and doing this with me. And until the next one. We have our next episode coming. Well, obviously, next episode next week. But thank you all for coming. Thanks for showing your support. Leave a comment, leave a like, leave a dislike if you don't like us. But we love to hear from you. Follow us on Instagram, on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Train and Gain Podcast. And you can find me on Instagram at John_Kioskarigis.
Like you said, guys, just follow because when you guys follow, you actually want us to support you.
Yeah, and it gives us support back as well. We're able to put content out there that you may want to have a topic talked about on, or you may say to us, hey, you have no idea what you're talking about with this topic. You're just shooting the shit, and we want to hear why, and we want to be able to answer why.
Correct. On that note, I'm John DiPaolo, and this is Johnny
Kioskarigis.
Johnny K.
It's going to take a while.
I'm sorry. I go to school too, man. My brain is on overload.
It's okay, man. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.